Tonight, shall we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And read verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Tonight, I want us to think about shining as light. Shining as light. And you know that this verse, or this part of the passage, is part of the longest sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount, or the Beatitudes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From verse 1, you see that? Verse 1, read that. Then seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So there are many things he taught, and we are going to. And after he taught them many things, there were exhortations, and this is one of them, which he exhorted them to show forth or to practice. And many things he have said here are a practical example for us. So he said that, let your light so shine before men. Why did he say men? Because we live in this world, and not all men are people of God. There are men in this world who are not people of God, and the others who are also people of God. So say that, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then the purpose is that while men see those who are disciples of Christ, their lives are going according to what Christ has taught us and how we live to imitate him. People will give glory to our Father which is in heaven, not even ourselves. We take no glory, for it is he who has done such things in us. So I trust that our minds will be set up with increased desire and steadfastness to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his, as we consider this exhortation from him, as he is our Lord. If only we have been saved and we have tasted his saving grace, he has bought us with his own blood. And we are his possession. We are his servant. We are his slaves. And we live according to his dictate. We live according to how he wants us to live, not by our own self. But you know, many people call themselves Christians, but they are not willing to live according to what Christ has taught. And that teaches us that they are not his servants. They are not his slaves. You know, another, the time of the slave trade, I think people will brand their slaves with some symbols and other things. And we have been branded with grace, which is not seen with our physical eye, but how we live our life shows us that we have been branded with that grace that Christ has given us. So it's a great thing to consider, that let your life so shine before men. And you know that the Sermon on the Mount has been properly termed by many that the Christian's moral code. That is Christian's moral code, that's how Christians may live. Since it was taught by the Lord for the regulations of our principles and our conduct to check us, so that we will look at it and act according to such spirit, so that we will see that that is what Christ wants us to be. There are many, many things in Scripture, but here, many of the things we have to do are, summarized in this whole passage for us. But then we consider this only this exhortation. So we must know that by the Lord saying that let your light so shine before men, he did not intend to teach how a person will be justified or how a person will be forgiven of his or her sin, but how a believer may show himself as justified and may walk worthy of his high and holy calling. Meaning that let your light so shine is not to unbelievers, it's to believers. It is those whom Christ have justified, made them righteous like himself, and they are like him. And then this is to them. That remember, there's the children. So that's it. Let your light so shine. This my little light. I will let you some something like that. And they don't understand. I mean, what it means when we apply to Scripture. The children. I mean, and I think the world sometimes uses that word to mean maybe the intelligence I have or the knowledge I have about things. I want you to show. Maybe I'm a student and maybe I am a human rights activist, or so let my light shine to defend people and all that. But no, to the Christian, our lives shine according to what Christ has told us, what Christ has done for us. And it is how we believers may walk, and may show their walk in sanctification. Elsewhere, the Bible tells that our high and holy call is a high calling. To be saved, to taste of the saving grace of our dear Savior, is a high calling. You know, to be saved is a calling. God calls you and saves you. And that calling comes with duties. We are not saved to be just Christians. No, we are saved to do something. So, in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 12, we read that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you as a believer, if you have come to the Lord and you are saved. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you see, many times we have these repetitions, that Christ may be glorified, that Christ may be shown, that Christ will be shown in you, or that Christ may be seen as we live our life in this world. So by this, he speaks only to those who, having received the grace that is in Christ, must live also according to the measure of that grace given. You know that each believer has been given a measure of grace. We don't have the same measure of grace, and we grow in grace in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We also grow in faith. So there are many things others can do, I might not do, but there are basic principles that all of us can do. Sincerity, humility, and many things of that. All of us, every believer has them. Though there are many works that not all of us can do. Not all of us can be maybe preachers. Not all of us can be maybe scholars. In the Bible. Not all of us can be writers. But all of us can bear faithful witness of the Lord. For whatever knowledge we have had about him, all of us can be sincere. And we have to be sincere as the Bible teaches us. So there are many things that not all of us can do, but there are many things that all of us can do. So if we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and have tasted of his saving grace, and we have been reconciled to the Lord enjoins us now, as let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Remember that we say that good works is not part of salvation, but good works after salvation testify that we have been saved. So the Bible, I mean, our calling to be Christian demands good works. But it doesn't demand good works for us to be saved. It demands good works after our salvation. So the good work is not added up to our salvation. But after we are saved, good works testifies, shows that we are saved. So looking at this subject, I'll propose two things, and we'll look at them, and we'll be done with our text. First, and the reasons why believers must shine as light. And the second is how we may obey this command. They are all enshrined in it. Because the exhortation is, it's a command, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so how we let the light shine? How do we continue to obey this command? So let's look at the reasons why. There are reasons why we have to shine. There is a reason why Christ said that. Let's look at some of these things. First thing is that because every believer in Christ has received his own measure of light from him, as I said before. The grace we have received that has saved us has given us a light, has brought us to a state of sin, to a state of holiness, has brought us to a state of ignorance, to a state of sensibility and awareness of God, and awareness of what? True and what? Spiritual life. So we have been translated from one state to the another. So being translated, we have been given what it takes to be a member of the new group. This is the light of grace which is bestowed on every believer who has received forgiveness of sin from God through faith in the propitiation of Christ's blood. And when we receive this, a new principle of life is given us, and it's grace. And that is the beginning of this light in us. That's the beginning of this light in every child of God. When we come to believe on Lord Jesus Christ, we are given a new life. And that life is light. And that is the light of men. Those who don't have that light walk in darkness. Those who are not saved walk in their sin. They don't know who God is. They just mention his name. They cannot, own God as their own Father. Their prayer is just anything at all. And their life is not, they are not challenged to live for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are not even looking up to when Christ will come. And they are not looking up when they shall go out of this world and be with him in glory. It's none of their business, because they don't have that understanding, that light. But every believer have this each and every day, wanting to be with his Savior. wanting to leave this world. That's Paul said that to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. And it is part, this is the light, these are all part of the light we have received. So that our day and day in our lives are lived in anticipation of our hope that we are waiting that Christ will come, take us to be with him. And not only are we being saved and forgiven of our sin, cleansed and given this understanding and everything, but God also, God's grace also has saved us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, in Titus 2:12. The grace did not just save us, wash us and give us this joy and that mind and understanding about God and his ways, dealing with people in spiritual terms. Not only that, but the grace that saved us is teaching us that we should deny ungodliness, anything that is against God, anything that God hates, any lifestyle, any attitude, any action that God frowns upon, we deny. That's what that grace teaches us. And worldly lust of the world, and that fleshly lust. I mean, lust for the things of the world. Name them, many of them, which the men of this world chases after. They care less. All that they want is what? Things of this world and enjoyment of it. But this grace teaches us to deny such things. That's why we are in this world, while we are working, our heart has all rest in this world. You know that somebody gave a comment on when man was created in Genesis chapter. When God has made everything, he made man. He said that man was made upright, with our face looking upwards. Or like what the animals, they look downwards and their hands are not straight. Because man, he has a soul, and that soul is from heaven. All the animals were just called out of there. Yes, we were made by dust, and we came from the clay, but God breathed into us, which there's something in man that looks upwards. But because of sin, man rather looked downwards and grabbed everything that is in the world and thinking that that is the purpose of life. But no, this grace teaches us to deny such things. Worldly lust, that we say that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The present world that we live in, its customs, its ways, its fashions are against God. Its enjoyment and entertainment are against God. But if we are Christians, if we are people who have had a life that has made us aware of our sinfulness and how the world is sinful, we deny such things. We do not enjoy those who practice sanctity. So the grace does not only give us that light, it gives us that power to deny things that are against God. This life we have received from Christ has also bestowed in us a new life which enables us to manifest the righteousness and holiness of Christ. Christ had a character while he was on earth, and the world have their characters, but those Christ saves, they live in accordance with Christ's character, with his spirit, with his humility, with his desire for souls, with his desire that people will know God. That is the character people, I mean, those Christ have saved, he put in. As Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's not a notion, it's the truth. Christ said, he is the light of the world, and whoever follows him, that whoever is his servant, his disciples, shall not walk in darkness. Let Christ the light, meaning he has brought what? Salvation, he has brought understanding, he is also the light of spiritual life, and he has given to those who follow him. And those who have it don't walk in sin. They walk in righteousness. They don't walk in sin. So that, I say, but shall have the light of life, so that they shall see life as it is, that the purpose of life shall be clear to them, that they will know the spiritual matters of things, and not just to think of such things as they are in the world. I am the light of the world. So Christ has given light to those he saves, so that they also walk in light. You know that as the moon reflects the sun, when the sun has gone off in the night, when it is out of sight, so Christ, whilst he is not physically seen, he has enlightened believers by his spirit to reflect in their life the glory of his grace. Christ is not in this world, but Christ is still seen. The kingdom of Christ is in this world, but it's only seen in those that he has saved. As the moon, you see, in the night, the moon is always there, but the moon does not have its own light to reflect the light of the sun. So believers, we don't have any light of our own. We only reflect what Christ has. And Christ is the Son of Righteousness in Malachi. Christ is the Son of Righteousness. And we are reflectors of that Son, which brings holiness and righteousness. So you see that believers have something in them which Christ has given them. So that those who have not this light, and those who don't have the Spirit of Christ, they are none of it. Then they walk in darkness. They are not Christian. They are not saved. They are not saved. In John chapter 8, we are told that those that are without the Spirit of Christ are none of it. Because they cannot reflect the light that Christ has. They cannot show forth the character and attitude that Christ wants the world to see. No. He has given believers something to show that they are his followers. And we also have in 2 Corinthians 3:6, we read that, and the Spirit giveth light. The Holy Spirit giveth light. So we see that so many verses above that shows that what? There's something that Holy Spirit gives to those that he comes into the when Christ saves. The light of truth to understand what truth really is according to God's mind. The light of love to show true love to our dear Savior and to one another. The light of peace, of comfort, of holiness, and of sincerity. You know that darkness is a gloomy thing. Darkness, when somebody is in distress, it's in darkness. And when ignorance is in darkness. But in Christ, we should have the comfort. So that believers are able to enjoy comfort in the midst of trials and difficulties. Believers are able to show forth a pure, sincere life in the midst of our lives and corruption around because of the light that is in us. And to be sincere and to be truthful in all their life because of the light which is Christ has given us. God, the Spirit giveth light. So Christ did not guess when he told his disciples that he had the light of the world. It's not guessing. He knows what he has done in them. So he knows what he has done in you and I if we are all born again. Christ knows what he has done. So that he says that what? Ye are the light of the world. In verse 14, he said that ye are the light of the world. The world is in darkness of sin. Sin has covered everything. In politics, in personal lives, in wherever you turn your eye. Sin has covered people's hearts. And people cannot know God. They can't see God. They don't know him. But those that are saved, those whom Christ has saved, we are the light of this world. And if we are the light of this world, how come if we don't show that light? A light can never be hidden. Christ himself said that nobody can light a candle and put it under a bushel or under a bed. It must be seen. So if we are in Christ, his character must be seen in us. Okay, that's the first reason. The second reason is that because it is the duty of every believer to demonstrate in his it is the duty of every believer to demonstrate his or her fruits and gift of the Spirit in daily life. The Spirit gives light. And that light produces something in us, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So, it is our duty to daily show this fruit in our lives. So that the command, let your light so shine, is true because we have something to give out of the light that we have. You know that some people say that, oh, religion is a matter of between me and God. Oh, for me, I'm Christian in my heart. It is never true. Yes, it's a half truth because we are Christian in heart and in life. It's two ways. Nobody is a Christian in heart and not in life. So that they mean to say that, oh, somebody can shut up his religion in his heart and not make manifest for others to see. But it is a false notion. It doesn't go in accordance with what Christ and the demands of us. We have to always show forth our fruit in the sight of our Heavenly Father to show ourselves that we are the children of God. Let's look at Daniel himself. When Daniel was a young man, when they took him to Babylon initially, what happened? As a young man, because he knows his God, he bore testimony. Daniel bore testimony, and his friends also. They said they will not eat the king's food, but they will eat the food that what? I mean, they will not help their body to grow and all that physically, but they trusted that God will help them in that. And they stood to their words. And all God's people in all ages are noted for demonstration of their what? Of their graces. From the Old Testament to the New. In times of difficulty, that's where the graces, the fruits of the Spirit shows. So Daniel, even as a trainee and also as a master, remember, we'll go to that later. When he also became a master, when he was told that he should not pray, he went and opened his window and prayed, showing that they cannot shut him off because he is a God. God is the only one that he fears, and his life is for him. Okay, then thirdly, another reason why is that because every disciple of Christ ought to be always motivated in his public as well as private conduct by a desire to promote the glory of God. Not only to show the fruit, but we should be motivated that in wherever we are placed, we have to show for God's glory. And showing God's glory is what we show forth in our lives. It is the glory of God which influences him, everyone, either him or her who is a Christian. The choices you should make about church that you should attend. The people think that, I want to attend this church because I think maybe I like dancing, or I like those who play drums, or maybe this pastor or this preacher. No. If I'm a child of God, to see God's glory even in my worship, I should look up to God alone first. The school I have to attend, the work I have to do, where I have to stay, the friends and the family I have to build, everything I should look at, is it going to glorify God? Will God approve this? And is God glorified in this thing I'm doing? That's the first question. And if you are not even knowledgeable, you have to go back and find what the Bible teaches about what you are trying to do. And then, if you do it, it is going to glorify because you have done it in accordance with what he has said. So this motive uniquely distinguishes the one who is humble, self-denying, and sincere disciple of Christ, who seeks to glorify him in every aspect of his life. Unlike somebody who claims to be a Christian, like proud and self-righteous and vainglorious, he is a hypocrite. He claims to look always to how God wants things to be done, but yet so proud and so boastful of whatever he can do himself. Who is taking the credit? If we do such things in humility, God is glorified and he takes the credit. So you see that though everything must be done in consultation with what God has done, but our motive shouldn't be of vain glory. You see that, for instance, in the case of Daniel, remember that Daniel defied, the king's law. People say, oh, Daniel is boastful. Daniel wants to show he is only a Christian. And people have that thing. They think that, some people, we talk about fasting. Some people can say they're having fasting, and at the workplace, they say they are fasting. They will put something on their hair, though they are waking up, making people to show that they are religious. That's not what you're supposed to do. Wasting their prayer time and everything, and yet they say they are fasting. And some people also, maybe, for instance, when the time of the coronavirus, you see that at the point in time, we need not to meet and all that. And people were defined, no. They are taking our worship from us. But we have to be wise and consider the matters at hand and not just be act against something. When it is clearly plain that things are against us and against the way of God, we act. We don't listen to authority because we listen to God alone. But most of the time, we have to be wise. Not that we want to show that we are boastful or we are proud and we are people that don't listen to matters. No. So even in demonstrating our Christian graces to demonstrate that we glorify God, we should be wise. How we make, not in a way that it will show our pride and see that we are the most religious people. No. So Daniel coming to pray in public was motivated only to glorify God, not so that people see that he is the one who prays much. Like Roman Christ condemned those who pray in public, like the Pharisees. He said, yes, the vain glorious thing. I mean, people do so. They do many things for people to see, like Jehu. If you go to the Old Testament, it's a good example. You see, Jehu, God, when the kings of Israel were saying it, I think King Jeroboam or Isaiah, and God sent a prophet to go and anoint Jehu. He was a captain of the army of Israel. And when Jehu got the position, he was zealous. He destroyed idolatry and many things. But he was zealous for his own glory. He even called, there was one man, I forgot, Rick, one man, he said, come and see what I have done. Yes, God gave him the opportunity. By Jehu, because his heart was not right, he did it very gross, and himself how to become, idolatry. He became the worst idol worshiper in his life. But God gave him the opportunity, he destroyed idol worship and all that. So we should be careful how we want to glorify God. Not in a way to even disturb others, not in a way to just make people think even evil of our religion. We should be careful how we want to glorify God. Shouldn't we be in vain glory, but in a way to demonstrate that we are sincere and it's God that we want to glorify, not anything apart from that. So let's move to our second portion, how we may obey this command. We have seen there are many reasons, but I took these three, I think, to help us reflect that. One, we have the light given us. Two, we have to demonstrate our graces. And three, we have to also glorify God. And these things demands us showing forth our light. And Christ, you know that Christ did not tell us to show forth our light just like that. He has given us something to help us to show forth our light. How we may obey this command? The first is by a faithful witness to the gospel of Christ. A faithful witness. Our first, how we show this light in us, a faithful witness. You know that in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 4, we learn that the early Christians at Jerusalem, under the persecution, they went everywhere. And according to the Bible, we say that, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. In time of persecution, that took, spread them abroad, they went preaching the word. Why? If they were not Christians who had the light of Christ, they will run away and find some shelter and live their life. But they went everywhere preaching the word. These are all believers, not pastors and teachers. We are not told that it was the pastors or the elders who went about preaching the word. It was ordinary and every believer, when they were going, wherever they resided, they preached the word. And how if all believers should own this, that we are all to show forth Christ's glory by being faithful witnesses to our friends, our relatives, to our work colleagues, to our family members, how Christ's name will be shined forth, how Christ's name will be glorified. So that we should be ready to confess our salvation we have, the faith in Christ, his atoning work on the cross of Calvary. Whoever is who comes within our reach, we should let them know, because even those under persecution, we were told that they went, they were preaching the word. But look at us. Sometimes, many believers, when troubles come, then they withdraw from Christian service. But rather, if we are true Christians, well, sometimes we have some some weaknesses. They might be true Christians, but they will have some weakness. But genuinely, if we are true Christians, troubles will rather push us to God. Troubles will rather make us come closer and be more serviceable to God. Because well, at times we are so we slumber in the things of the world, and God himself will bring affliction so that we'll run back to him, be more useful. It is always like that. If you are a true believer, you might have experienced this in your life, that when times things are very difficult, that's where your heart is. You look where you can rest your hope in God so that you'll be kept. But unbelievers will rather turn. Remember the Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian was going, he was joined by Pliable and Obstinate. And immediately they fell into the slough of this one. And the two people, I think, one of them was able to swim backwards. And when he was able to say, oh no, he didn't even help Christian out. And Christian was struggling, but Christian was struggling to go forward. So he had help. Help came to help, he was helped, and then he was able to continue. I think that Pliable Obstinate returned back. When he was able to get out of the trouble, he said, me, your country are going, whatever it is, I don't like it. I'm going back. That's a picture of a hypocrite. It's a picture of somebody who did not really trust in God. When afflictions comes, then you see the true character of Christians. When times of difficulty, when times of troubles, then you see the life of true Christians. Well, as I said, there will be people who might have weak faith and they might stagger in between. But if we are truly genuine and sincere, afflictions will push us and will be more useful to the Lord. Affliction is good to help us to be more useful to the Lord. So if a Christian doesn't like affliction, you should like them, because it's a good thing to, and it always makes our mind to yearn for heaven, so that our desire for this world becomes empty. Because when we are more pressed in the things of this world, then we look for our Father and cry for him and chase after him, and our desire goes after him. You remember in the life of David, many a time he has cried to the Lord in times of difficulty. But when David was settled, and his kingdom was, people were going to war. He was enjoying his life. And he went into sin of adultery. See, so when things are okay with us, we should be careful and not to enjoy it that much, so that when the time of difficulty comes, we shall be able to cope with it.
Okay. So also in the presence of profane people, you know that if you are very sensible, you are very sensible about things around you, people around you, you notice that many people speak a lot of filthy words. Many people, they only open their mouth and they cannot. And such things defile. If you go to Leviticus, there's one sin of ignorance or something. Not sin. Like when somebody says something, you are just passing by. But it's a filthy thought and it comes into your mind. It can even lead people to sin. Evil communication. And that sin in Leviticus, such a sin is a sacrifice for it. So we believers too, we might not even commit a sin, but even those around us, their conversation, because it's ungodly, it affects us. And sometimes because these things affect us, we become pious. And we think that when we even speak about Christ, they will laugh at us. But no, we should show forth and make sure that even times like that, we open our mouth and let people know that Christ, we are Christ as witnesses and we live for Christ. Remember the young Jewish slave in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read this morning, in chapter 3. The testimony she bore about the prophet in the God in Israel, the prophet, he said that. And she said unto her mistress, "Will God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he recover him of his leprosy." Look at him, look at her. A slave. She had been captured, she had been taken from her parents. I'm sure she might not see her parents again. A young girl. And she was not sorrowful. She was even happy to direct his master to go to Israel to find a cure. If he was to be an ungodly, she was saying, "Oh, if God was true, God, why did he allow me to be taken as a slave and my parents, maybe they are killed in the war?" But no, the love of God was still in her heart. And she bore that testimony. So you see that, as I said, afflictions makes Christians more useful. The testimony she bore here, and that of Acts, the believers, as they were persecuted, as they spread off, then they bore witness for their Savior. So this witness of this young lady made the glory of God to shone in Syria's darkened history, because there was no believer in Syria. But what he said, "And let Naaman to come to Israel," when he got saved, I'm sure Naaman would have gone there with the testimony of God's salvation for him. And I'm sure your man affected many. And then the light of the gospel will have been in Syria then. So see how, in times of difficulties, in times that we have to really keep quiet, if we speak and we are faithful, the Lord is able to use it. And we should never look into our circumstances and say, "Oh, I am so pressed about issues of life, I cannot continue my Christian service." No. It's the strength of the Lord that helps us to work. It's not our own physical strength. No. If we depend on our own strength, we will fail. If we depend on prayer and commitment and holy life and desire for godliness, yes, troubles will come, but God will strengthen us. And we will go on. And day after day, we will be victorious as Christ himself was victorious. So the second thing, how we may make this thing work is that by a personal exhibition of the Christian characters. So that while we interact with our brethren and our world at large, the virtues, the characters, and affections which identify the followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. Christ was the meek and lowly. He was a man of compassion heart. He was a man, I mean, call any virtue, patience, love, a man that you cannot point anything in his life. So, while we interact with our own Christian brethren, and also those that are outside who are unbelievers, we must show for such attitudes. And it will make them to think about, "Oh, why these people, they act like this, even I've done this against them." But there are people that they still, I mean, they are not malicious, they are not impatient with me, and yet look at all that I have done. You know that historically, many parents have been persuaded to hear the gospel because of the transformation and the conviction of their children, they have witnessed in their children, as they are maybe Sunday school children and all that. They have seen, I mean, many stories are there, that parents were moved by the change in their children and the faithfulness and the sincerity their children portray in the house. So if the Lord should help us, and our Sunday school were able to do it well, and many, as we pray that most of their parents should come, if these children, most of them, some of them, are really converted, their testimony will be a witness to their parents. And it will draw many
to our meetings, so that we should look at that. We should look at it that our character and how the things that we do are also means that we can what demonstrate this thing, and we should be able to do it. So you know that we are charged in Colossians 3:12-13, 12-4. We say that put on therefore as the elect of God, believers, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. Look how he qualifies this holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfection. We don't have time to go into this one by one, but putting all together, it shows us the virtues as believers we have to persevere to produce around us. And he said that holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. And whatever level we are, we should ask for grace to be able to show more. And the more we're able to demonstrate this kind of graces, the more our witness will be more useful. Most of the time, our witness are not useful because our character does not testify that what we are saying is true. So let us try. Let us move, and so that we shall be able to do this thing. And again, we are told in Peter, 1 Peter 2:12, says that having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Another area of testimony where we are sincere, honest with people who are outside, and they see our sincerity. That whereas they speak against you as evil doers, they may by your good works, quick they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So you see that, let your light so shine, so that people who see me glorify God. It's the same here that what? When our conversations are right, even among the Gentiles, say what? Despite the evil they may speak, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The light of good works, the light of good virtues that we will portray, they shall glorify God. And when they are moved by the Spirit, they shall be saved, because they will testify that indeed something have been done to somebody, which was an example that I can also pick it up and follow. So we see that our work as Sunday school teachers, our work as other preachers, our work as whatever ministry we have in the church, simply by the personal exhibition of the graces of the Christian character, it's a great force to make our work be acceptable by God and blessing unto others that we are doing for. So let us pray for God. These graces, we have to pray for them. We are saved for the graces to be more faithful, for the graces to manifest more of this light. We should be sincere in prayer. And God gives to us blessings as we pray and seek for these things daily. Many Christians don't pray for these things, but we have to pray for. And whatever level we have, we have to grow in it. And then we become more faithful. And the third thing is that by sincere discharge of Christian duties, in Romans 12, we are told not slothful in business, servant in spirit, serving the Lord. Not on other business, but business of the Lord, the ministry of the word of the Lord. Wherever we have been praised, we should be able to be diligent. And also, wherever we are, whether we are parents, whether we are mothers, whether we are father, mothers, or wherever we are, we have to make sure that we do things that show that we are Christians, that we are better fathers, we are better mothers, we are better sisters, brothers, masters, servants, whatever, better citizens, whatever. When things are corrupt around us, we should make sure that we are better people wherever we are. And this is also a testimony that Christ is in us. And it shows that we are Christ's people. And if we are also ruling, we have authority, we must demonstrate the character of Christ. So that all who are around us, our family members, and those who are not, may see that Christ, the light of Christ is shown in us. You see that another area also is that five Christians don't reject how Christians are not serious about self-denial. So it's another way we are not able to witness. Christians are not practicing self-denial, and that does not show forth the light of Christ in us. Christians are they cannot let things. Find even their rightful, and they cannot let them, be and overlook them so that they can concentrate on the things of Christ. Everything I have to go through, everything I have to enjoy. No. If I have deprived myself of something that is some pleasures that are not sinful, I have to, so that I can serve God. And doing that, it shows for that Christ, the light of Christ is in me. But many are willing to be in ease and still are thinking that it will bear a testimony. No, we should learn to deprive ourselves of even many things that are, as Apostle Paul said, that what? I mean, many things that are right for him, but he will not come under the dominion of any. Even the rightful things, he said that he will not let it any of those things be dominating, so long as he has better things to do than even those rightful things. So let's look into our own lives. What are the things that are right that we can even let them be and be faithful to the Lord? And in such ways, we are showing for the light of Christ. Look at Christ himself. He was the King of glory. He was, I mean, in the heavens. But he denied himself of that glory to come down to purchase for us salvation. It was not wrong for Christ to be in heaven. Nobody will say he was bad. But he left his glory so that he can come down. So you and I, there are many things that are even right in our life. We can let them, put them off, and still, so that we can have more time to be useful to the Lord. And it will bear great testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for instance, as we have in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16, we learn of a believing husband and unbelieving wife, or a believing wife and unbelieving husband. And the testimony we have is that what? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? By that conversation, by how you live your life and how you're able to show forth that Christ is in you. So we see that even in our homes, we have to comport ourselves in a way. Even those around us in our community must see that Christ is in us. But sadly to say that many are conforming to worldly fashions instead of transforming into spiritual maturity. Many rather give into worldly fashions, rather to persevere in spiritual maturity. So many do not grow. Many are still, quote unquote, seem to be babies in Christ and understand them. But now if we are able to deny many things, we shall be strong and stand for the Lord. If nowadays, I think telenovelas are very common. And in many homes, I'm sure telenovelas have been replaced with times of devotion. And people maybe some couples would rather watch just telling than to commit themselves to devotion. Many are willing to rather do something, maybe in a place of time of prayer. And all this does not show for our Christian character. And it goes against us. Our children will see it. Those who come around will see it. And what testimony to bear in their mind. If we are able to, even in the things that, quote unquote, might not be sinful, we are able to neglect them and commit ourselves to holy duties in times of our leisure times. The best testimony that we have a motive that Christ is our master. So we know that Christ saying that let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, is a great command that we all have to consider it in every area of our life. So coming to conclusion, my friends, I will close with this promise which God made to his church in all ages in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34 verse 26 says that, and I will make them and make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will call the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. This was in reference probably to Jerusalem and the place of God's past believers. This is a promise to the universal church. Christ has said that he will make us and the place around about us a blessing. He said, we are healed. We believers are healed in this world. Because our character must stand above worldly cultures and worldly characters. And in doing so, Christ said, what? He would make us a blessing. And he said, I will cause showers to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessings. As a church, we are healed of God. And we must manifest this, and then God will bless those around us. You know, this prophecy,
goes for the universal church and also for the individual believer. God has promised that He will make His hill and the place around His hill a blessing. So am I God's child? Am I the temple of the Holy Ghost that the Holy Spirit lives in me? Then God says, you make me a blessing, and those around me will see. So if God has said it, then let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, that how I wish every believer will be a blessing to the church here, as we are all fellowshipping and members of, and to the cause of Christ and witnessing wherever we find ourselves, and even to our generation that we live, how our life will show forth of the light of Christ to make a testimony that we live for Him while we were here and not for ourselves. And then this light of Christ in us will show forth our graces in this dark and sinful world. You know, this world is dark and sinful. People care nothing about God. Many people who go to church, they don't care about, what happens to the things of God and His glory, no. But we, who have this light, will shine forth in this dark and sinful world to glorify our Father, who has saved us out of this darkness into His marvelous light. If we are part of those who have been saved from darkness into the marvelous light of our dear Savior, we have to show forth this light in our lives. And the Lord will be with us, and He will bless us, and He will not let us alone. And all our life will be a blessing to the glory of His name. May the Lord help us and grant us grace to observe this command, to see its fruit in our lives each and every day.